Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Bite into a stack sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams of protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises. Just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the podcast. I am on the road building this new hour. I also, last podcast, I think I screwed up. I am at the Hartford Funny Bone September 18th and 19th only. Friday and Saturday only. 4 shows. Hartford Funny Bone tickets at dansoder.com. Then, in October, I'm going to be at Cusada's in Albuquerque. That's Friday and Saturday, the 2nd and the 3rd of October. Cusada's in Albuquerque. If I'm saying that wrong, I'll probably punch myself in the balls later when I find out. But dansoder.com for all dates. Thanks for watching the podcast, and I hope you're doing all right. It does feel like a lawyer deposition where you go, we're going to turn on the cameras now. Court scene.
It's the Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
We rolling.
By the way,
we
great rolling. Promo.
Thank
for
you.
For the special.
That was, I was proud of it.
Taking that.
Yeah.
Jared Fried's special's out now on Netflix. Go
Thank
watch
you,
it. Boost that shit. Boost that shit right now.
Do something. Just watch it and enjoy it. Share it. That's Share all you gotta it. Do. It's a 1 hour. This is my one thing. We'll move on. 1 hour story about going to the beach with my parents. In 2018, my dad asked me how much I weighed at the beach.
That's crazy.
And then I turned that into a whole hour of stand-up that's about my family and body issues.
And obviously, last time we were on the podcast, we were talking about your parents. Yeah. Dare I say, uncomfortable closeness with your life.
We are. There is just, I love them. I love hanging out with them. There is no like, oh, we won't talk about that. No, they are just openly, they're like Rickles. Like they're just like openly. And now the thing is now that I'm a comedian and their friends like, no, I'm a comedian. Like it's like open season that they can just like talk crap to me. Yeah. It's like,
I'll tell you what, he used to piss the bed and you go, why are you telling these
right.
things? So that was actually going to be my question is this vindicates them that you did a whole hour on a thing they did and they go, told you.
Yeah. If they think it, they love it. They love my dad. When we did the promo, you go watch it. He is like acting better than like anyone's ever acted because he's just being himself. Yeah. He was like at like a 30 out of 10. There were like, he goes, literally he was like, look, at the end of the promo where he's like, look at him, he's not fat. He's thick. And like none of that is like him putting it on. It's just he was like allowed to be his full self.
Do you are you seeing someone?
I have a girlfriend now. Yeah.
What is that like in a, bringing that into a very public? Your parents talk shit about, you know what I mean?
she gets it because her family like has some crazy to it too.
Every
like,
family. Does.
Every family has it, and I think. That's what I love about her is like she also like I think you need to date someone who can see the other angles and where it's coming from. Like when my dad asked me how much I weigh, the problem with parents is that they're 10% right all the time. So like it's
like a movie when they call it based on real events.
Right.
Their movie is always based on real events.
You're totally right.
Where you go, oh, kind of did happen.
Right. I you're asking how much I weigh because you think I'm a fat fuck. I do think myself as a fat fuck, but I don't go to the beach and think about that while at the beach. Like I'm naked right now. I'm going to have a good time.
And you're ruining my enjoyment.
Right. You're ruining the day. So like I think what I love about my girlfriend and but I know there's going to be a day where my parents will get too comfy cozy, say something that they think is
towards her
it might be too hard at me. Where she's like mad for me.
Oh, that's the best feeling though. Can I tell you right now? That's like the sign of a great relationship or that you're in love is when that they get mad for you about something that your parents said to you and you go, right?
Right.
You just look at them and you go, thanks.
It's like when someone wrongs you on an airplane and you turn to someone that's sitting in another seat that has nothing to do with the person who wronged you and they just look at you and go, yeah, no, that was horrible. And you're like, that's a hero.
We're missing that. We're missing that from Community.
I agree.
And I think what happened is everyone thought that was what the comment sections were going to be.
No.
And it's not. You need the person that goes,
Can I tell you the one that
made me feel great that I'm still high off
of? Please. You know what ruined it before you get into it? Headphones. Headphones. Everyone's in their own world. Yeah. So you're not like, I know something crazy is going on when I'm one headphone out.
Yeah.
Arched around a corner.
Yeah, dude. And sometimes I will miss context because my headphones are in.
I hate it.
And then I go, what did I miss? Just yesterday, walking to the cellar, I'm at the subway station, and this guy and his girlfriend are going, what the fuck? What the fuck? And this guy's just walking off, and I know if I didn't have my headphones in, I would have heard. I would have had
like
more
clues.
It's
like going to the bathroom at the movies. You're like, that's a 10-minute spot that I can't go back to the DVD and watch it later.
But there is something great about someone going like, I saw that. And you go,
That's a drug. That's totally a drug.
The one I'm still riding off of was when I lived in Queens fucking years ago. I haven't lived in Queens in over 5 years. You know, I lived at Astoria Boulevard station, which is like stairs.
Yeah.
There isn't an elevator. So whenever there would be like, I don't know, either someone with a baby carriage or somebody that needed like an old lady lifting like the cart for her groceries. Mm-hmm. You just help out.
The community comes together like a scene out of Spider-Man.
Right. And so I'm leaving the Dunkin' Donuts right by the train station. And this little lady's got her baby carriage and I go to grab it. And another guy grabs it and they walk up the stairs. And I was like, oh, okay. And it like what happened or whatever. And then this old black guy's behind me. He goes, I see you, big man. You get credit for that. And I went, thank you. And it called me big man and everything.
Big man from a black guy.
My feet didn't touch the ground for a week. I was like, I'm the best person in the world.
You know who thinks that? A hero.
Old black dude.
I
see you, big man. You still get credit. I went, thank you.
Oh my God.
I like skipped up the stairs with my coffee. I was
he's like the janitor from Rudy.
Yeah, he's like,
Right. You're like, who's the wild man now?
White people using mythical black old black people to feel good.
Right. Bagger Vance.
Tale as old as time. But it was like that, like those acknowledgments.
It's all you want. You just want to know. It's the Jim Halpert. Look at the camera.
Yeah.
And you're just looking for. I was on a flight. This woman had three kids with her. And then this girl, who I already knew was crazy. I clocked her from the minute she was in a wheelchair, like getting wheeled, not her own. It was the airport wheelchair getting wheeled by someone who works at the airport and she's doing selfie videos in the chair. So I was like, we got one. Like I'm like eyes on that one. I looked at my girlfriend. I go, something's up. Keep an eye on her.
That is funny. I love that you can go like a detective. You go, something's off.
Yeah.
That woman's too self-involved and sucks to be in a wheelchair.
Right.
She would have been humbled by a real condition that would have put her in a wheelchair.
Totally. Like if she needed
the wheelchair, she would have been humbled.
And yeah, totally. And also you have someone at the airport whose job is like that's not the job, you know, where your job is like, hey, you're just on duty for like helping people out. And usually it's older people. She was like 25. And selfies. It's like, you know, it's like a Mad Lib that didn't go together. I was like, that's something.
Oh, you're describing something that just makes me angry.
It was so angering, but you can't. You got to start. You start at, she's got something off. So we get on the airplane. The same girl is now walking behind. She's behind a woman who's helping her kids get in the seat. And the girl, she was dressed like, you know, the movie Just Friends with...
Yeah, Amy Smart and Ryan Reynolds.
And then who plays the pop star woman?
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
She's crazy. The sex-crazed pop star.
That's who it looked like. And she literally, she goes, please move. I've been standing here forever.
Oh.
And then the woman turns back. The mom is like, I can't believe it. And literally me, both headphones out. I'm like,
ah! Yeah.
She...
Yeah, you popped up like a meerkat.
Oh, I was in. I gotta know.
Yeah, and you're up on your seat.
Just looking.
He's gonna go back into his hole for snacks.
She goes, I said, please.
Okay.
Emily, at one point, my girlfriend, she literally looked at me. She goes, you need to turn back around. Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm on this for the first hour of the flight.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we're not moving. We're not leaving this seat.
I love
this
it.
This is the OJ case.
Yeah.
This is, we are having a crew here.
What happened on the flight?
She was totally fine. She had one other moment where she went to the bathroom at the same time as the mom.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, scene two, here we go.
Were you mad? Nothing transpired?
So mad. Yeah. I want, and I...
And you deserve it.
I wanted to be that for the mom, though. I was actually up looking for the mom.
I like
so that. She go, and I was a ready... I was literally ready, willing, and able to give her the full... I was going to jowl. Just a full shake.
I think the problem of this is we've lost containment of autism, and now there are hots with aughts.
Hots with aughts.
There's hots with aughts.
Great merch. Put that on a shirt.
There are hot people that are autistic.
Well, it's the spectrum because if the spectrum, you know, the spectrum exists, sure. You would say there you go. We're all kind of waiting. For the as-a, you're going to be, you know, because that's the way we argue, is like, as a woman who needed to be pushed in a wheelchair, every comment on everything is as-a.
Yeah.
They go into their as-a.
As a man that actually has an autistic son, I don't like this comparison.
And right.
You know, great. I'm saying we've allowed everyone to use it, so everyone's going to be acting a little like it, where it's like there are real people that have, like...
Oh, right.
True
no, there's a break in case of emergency that you can do where you go, let me just find a way to victimize myself. And then I will make you the evil villain in this story.
Look at how many older rich comedians that become assholes just go, actually, I just realized I'm on the spectrum.
That is
what a cop out.
Can we just call that person? Can we just be like, that's a pussy move? Like, yeah,
I think it's a bitch move.
It's a bitch move.
It may be not respect Seinfeld.
There's a point where
I went like, dude, you're honestly, I liked it better when he was just a dickhead, because I remember the first time he was a dickhead to me in 07 when I moved here.
What, he was a dick to you?
He was a dick to everybody, dude.
I only met him once.
He likes people when they're famous or when they ball wash them.
Right.
He doesn't like just regular random comics.
He gave me one compliment and
at Gotham.
Yeah.
There you go.
Zach Gotham.
Zach Gotham, and you were probably clean and you didn't do anything.
I did a joke. It was, I said that it was from my first special, that homeless pimp over here was, directed and made with me. I said that, I believe everything is healthy. I can rationalize any food. And I was like, I think, rationalize any food. It was like Justin's peanut butter cups, Reese's are unhealthy, but Justin's peanut butter cups are, I would believe, give me abs. And he goes, I come off stage and I had my recorder going in my pocket, and he goes, Justin's peanut butter cups. It was there just the whole time.
That's cool.
And that was cool that like he gave like a,
listen,
he does love writing. That's what
now I'm almost like, now that we're talking about this, I go, is he autistic? Cause like he is like,
right.
He might actually not be copping it out.
It does explain that he's so obsessed with the words. Like, you've ever...
You guys are watching my opinion change in real time.
Well, have you ever heard him talk about, like, writing a joke where he's like...
I love it. Oh, don't act like... I read fucking...
No, I know. But I'm saying
I was even a fan of a 17-year-old girlfriend. Not him dating her. I wanted to date her. I was a fan of that when they're like, oh, you remember a 17-year-old girlfriend? You go, I don't forget those titties. And brother, at the time, I was like 15. So she was age appropriate for me.
We're like high fiving him from Denver.
I was like, woo!
And look
at
us.
I was like, Seinfeld's the best of all time.
Right.
Also, the movie Comedian greatly affected me being a comedian.
It's quite a watch.
I've watched it obsessively. Like, to the point that I wouldn't say, like, if you want to be a comic, watch it. I'd say, like, just in my, it's like the way musicians talk about, like, Zeppelin 3. It's like,
I don't know Zeppelin 3.
It's just like a lot of musicians, not even that album, but like there's albums.
Paris is Burning for a person that has gone RuPaul's Drag Race.
Exactly. But it was just one of those things where it greatly affected and then he was a dick, but now that we're talking about it and I've watched him ad nauseum talk about joke writing and I love it. And I love to watch
him. He'll like a word because it sounds funny. But he's right. Like, and he is
he's
right.
He's so right.
Have you ever explained the movie Comedian to someone who's never seen it?
No.
I just did this like a couple weeks ago with my girlfriend. I was like, oh, there was this movie Comedian where they watch Seinfeld like come back to stand up and they profile another comedian. The more I explain that, I'm like, that is crazy that that movie like existed. Like,
why?
Just can they, what would you like the fact that
it was a pretty big deal because Seinfeld did call his last HBO special, I'm telling you, for the last time. There was a great promo where there was a funeral and other comics were there and they're going like, you gonna use it? Can I use
that's
that bit?
Funny, yeah.
And he basically told the world, I've been doing this act forever. I'm done. I'm done doing stand up. This is it. And then the show ended. And so what was crazy is he was like, I'm not done doing stand up. And so that's the whole point of the documentary.
Right.
Was he was coming. How does a legend restart?
Would you have done it if they asked you to be the Orny Adams?
No.
That's the crazy part to explain to someone.
But I also,
that's what I'm talking about. Because you go, and then there's this other young comic that they're just like following along. And
he put himself, listen, I can't fault him for doing it because at the time there were no avenues and it did make him famous, but it made him famous in a wrong way. And I also think people got, I've seen Orny Adams fucking murder.
No, he,
like
he
I've
does
seen
murder.
Him kill in a way that you're like, God damn, we were in Montreal. I was on a show with him and I was like, fuck.
I actually think there should be more empathy for him.
He says some lines that are tough.
He says some crazy stuff, but it's pre-internet commenter, pre-cameras on everything. Yeah, like pre-knowing about editing and how you're going to be portrayed and what you, we are so like the way, I'm not saying he shouldn't, you know, again, he gets outed as not looking great.
No. Also watch the documentary. And then once you're done watching the documentary, watch it with director's commentary with Colin and Jerry Seinfeld.
Is it?
It's a whole different movie.
Oh, I got to watch.
Colin's
I've never seen that.
Drinking Diet Cokes, talking shit. It's so funny. It's and Colin Quinn and Jerry watching the movie.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Because I think about it now, you're like, man.
Listen, if you're worried about your health, understandable. If you're a hypochondriac, absolutely understandable. You're talking to the king hypo. But you do need to do something about it. You can't just let it fester in your brain. But if you're worried about something, go to ZocDoc. ZocDoc.com or the app will help you find a doctor that's close to you, that's available, that's in your network, and you can just set up an appointment and then stop worrying. It's really awesome. I mean, I used it. I have a problem with my toe, had to find a podiatrist, went on the ZocDoc app, found a podiatrist in my neighborhood that was available that day. That's what I'm talking about. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors. They have over more than 150,000 providers with 200 specialties across all 50 states, and you can see actual appointment openings and click to instantly book a visit. Appointments happen fast, usually within a day to three. You can even get same-day appointments. Plus, ZocDoc, completely free to use. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/Soder to get started and get that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. Cash App. Talking about the Cash App. Listen, Cash App is one of those apps for money. You need them now. You can't just do the cash is king. I've tried it. Bump into some real roadblocks. But if you get a Cash App or if you get one of the apps for money, get Cash App. If you download Cash App today, it's a financial service platform. It's not a bank. However, it does help you do banking stuff. It's got the Cash App card. It's got Cash App Green and free overdraft coverage. Cash App does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend money called Cash App Green. Now, when you spend at least $500 a month with the Cash App Green card, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits up to $100 of free overdraft coverage. If you overdraft unexpectedly, boom, they got your back, no hidden fees. You also unlock higher borrow limits and custom personalization cashback offers every Friday at places that you love to shop. Download Cash App today and make your money work for you. Visit the link in our bio. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's banking partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa, Cash App Visa debit. Fuck. Jeez, Louise. Cash App Visa debit flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank, North America, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated. See terms and conditions, the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton debit flex card, and Bancorp debit flex card. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposit, roundups, overdraft coverage, and discount provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated. Whew. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. You just got to make sure you say all that stuff. That's like, and cut. That's like my, a new long bit that I have. But it's really true.
We're back. But that's the part where I was like telling her about this movie and how like he said all these, he just didn't look great. And
in hindsight, what's interesting about this is you can tell he was fucked with it editing.
There was they knew what they had there.
In wrestling, they call it protecting someone. So when you're in the ring with someone, they say the biggest thing is you're protecting your opponent. So when he lands, you're going to try to grab the back of his head so it doesn't hit the ground.
Right.
So their neck doesn't hit anything.
He was unprotected.
Oh, my God. Right. They fucking dropped him right on his head multiple times.
Every reality show, you know, the people.
There's a hero edit. They can edit you in different ways.
Right.
But there was some stuff that he just like, watch the documentary. There's stuff he says that you're like, there's no coming.
You don't have to do that.
And also, for me, not talking about Orny Adams, that made me love Colin Quinn. That was the beginning of me going like, I fuck with this guy because I liked him on Weekend Update.
Yeah.
And I always liked him when he popped up and stuff. But then that, and then Tough Crowd. Tough Crowd came out right as Comedian was coming out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my, and also I used to listen to O&A. And so I was like, this is my guy.
He's always just been like the oracle of the hang. Like
he is the comedian.
Yeah.
Colin is a comedian.
I opened for him once at a temple. I think I got pulled in. He got booked at the temple. They're like, we need, you know, need a Jew. And I drove back with him and his girlfriend. And he was just so cool about the whole thing. Like, he's just so, he is in the comfortable spot that I think we all, like, I don't think comedians really, like, we just want to do our shows and make a living. And
if you're in New York City, you can go watch him every Monday night at the Fat Black Pussycat, and he runs an hour. And every time I watch him, there's like Pimp and I talk about this all the time. There's three or four bits where I go, it's fucking unbelievable.
Right.
There's no way I would have written that. One of my most cherished experiences of comedy was the first time I got to open for Colin, and he knows I'm like a comedy nerd.
Yeah.
And we get into the car. It was Rebecca Trent's van. And we were driving up to Binghamton, New York, and we get in the car, and he goes, first 2 hours, I don't want any comedy questions. And I go, it's fair. And we're like in the car for like 3.5 hours. Hour three, I remember he had a legal pad because he was working on his shit, and he throws it on the dashboard. He goes, all right, what do you got?
That's so
funny. And I go, you started in 1984 with Chris Rock and Adam Sandler. And he goes, yeah. And I go, is it crazy you did SNL after they left? And he goes, yeah, it was a little weird. It was like a job where my friends worked at that I was working at. And like, I was asking him like, who's the best comic that showed up fully formed? Who was like the best comic when they showed up? You're like, that guy's amazing. He was like Greg Giraldo. He goes, he was a lawyer, so he was already good at doing bits.
Right.
I just got to ask him. And then at one point, Colin goes, you know what's wrong with your generation? You guys know everything. He goes, it's better not to know everything.
No,
it's better to experience it. And when he said that, I was like, great. Now, it's rumored that Mike Myers wrote the role of Scott Evil for you. And he's like, yeah. And I turned, I was working on my own thing.
You were already doing a podcast. You were doing like I've seen the Scott Evil thing go viral already,
I was like, because I think he's like, when you're, it's, comics, it's, you know, similar to wrestling, it's similar to bands where you have a guy and you go, this is my guy. I like this guy. I want this guy to do well. And as his career goes on, you know, for comedy, it's Colin Quinn. For music, it's Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
For wrestling, it's fucking Shelton Benjamin, or you know what I mean? Like a guy that you're like, I love this guy. I want this guy to do great.
No, there's a few comics that I've seen where I'm like, you know, I do want like a normal life.
Sure.
That is also a comedian's life.
We're like the same. We're
you
the
know,
same.
Right?
You get into this shit and you go, after a while, you go, I just want this to be a job that I love.
Right, right. And that's like the boulder up a mountain of it all. You know, you're like, yeah. and it's Colin's demeanor, Colin's way about him at the Cellar. Like, I like love that. I love that it's like him coming in. Sometimes it seems, you know, it feels like he's like playing a little golf.
Yeah,
you know,
just coming like, in and whacking it around for 18 holes.
That's how it feels like when you see him.
And he gets clean shots where you go,
whoa, oh, this guy can play.
That thing's off the tee.
Right.
That thing was screaming off the tee.
Oh, my God. And
well, so did your girlfriend watch Comedian?
No, I got to show it to her. So we're going to end up watching it together now. Because she really is like the most supportive person I've ever had in my life with this. Like my parents never encouraged me creatively.
Really?
My parents were very encouraging
me
as
supportive.
They're supportive. My parents are like, you're a good businessman and you're really fooling people with this whole funny thing. Really? That's like my dad.
Do they think your brother's funnier than you?
They don't think of funny, not funny. Like everyone in my family was a character. The funny angle of it. My dad, I remember when I started doing comedy, my dad goes, you don't even look funny.
That's funny. That's just a funny thing to say.
Right. Like it's like everyone in my life, my grandmother, my mom, my dad, like my aunts, my uncles, everyone. I think that's like also like why you have like so many comedians from Boston. Like everyone in Boston.
Flat out.
Is just a character and punchy.
The only city that comes close to the natural humor of Boston is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Philadelphia and Boston are the two, and also they're mean cities.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where it is. It's like New York. I would say New York is up there. I would say the three
Borough,
funniest,
New York. You know, Borough, Manhattan,
Long Island,
New York. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brooklyn, Queens.
Right, right.
Not Manhattan. Manhattan's not too Manhattan, dead-eyed.
Too transparent.
People coming and going.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island.
Right.
We're counting that as New York.
Right.
I put them as third.
Okay.
I think Philly is second.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get a drunk lady from fucking West Philly in a robe smoking a cigarette going like, hey, look at you fucking fat ass.
Right.
This guy's fucking running downtown. You can't even fucking run. Runs like a fucking girl. And you're like, hilarious.
Sure.
Boston, my mother-in-law, Katie's mom's hilarious.
I said this I was on a podcast on Mina Kimes' podcast.
Shout out Mina Kimes. Mina go 49ers. Kimes.
She's great.
She's a Seahawks fan. And she does games for the Rams. Go 49ers.
Go
for it. But she knows ball.
She knows ball
like a motherfucker.
She was great, but she also talks Love Island, or not Love Island, Love is Blind.
Oh, okay.
And Love is Blind is a world that I put my toe into. And she's like, the Boston season's coming up. And she's like, what is your... You got to watch the Boston season.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is why Boston, Philly, like these towns with... there's a personality there that you're like, I'm tuning in for whatever Boston Love is Blind gives me.
Can I tell you what it is? I think it is a majority of a population that has been stepped on most of their lives in a way. They've been kicked, punched, and had their hair pulled in a way.
Shoveling snow.
That's what it is.
What it is. It's shoveling snow.
It's having ice. It's having...
Like New York winters are not as harsh. Boston winters are just way more harsh with a city...
I'm putting a fourth city in contention.
Okay.
Chicago.
Yo, Chicago's there. Chicago has funny. Chicago, I think, and I said this to me, and I think this is the difference. I think Boston is like Philly with charm. Like there, and she was like, what do you think is going to happen from the Boston Love is Blind season? And I said, there's going to be someone you hate, but you would still like kind of fall in love with because he has an accent. Do you know how many guys I have met that go away to school and their nickname is Boston?
No. Oh.
Because they gave it to themselves or someone gave it to them because they had like a half an accent. Every college had the kid Boston. And I always hated that guy because I'm Boston without an accent. So I'm like, yeah.
One of the greatest experiences of my life.
Yeah.
A reason that made me fall in love with Katie even more than I already am. We go to her high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And we're meeting some of her old friends from high school.
Sure.
And this one guy's really nice. He's super nice. And he's like, hey, and I could tell they're old friends or whatever. And he's like, how are you? And I'm like, hey, man. And he's like, well, you know, I live in Boston. I live down by the park or whatever. And then Katie goes, accent's new, huh? like that.
Oh, and he God.
He goes, ah, fuck. So I live by the park. And I was like, oh! And immediately I was like, no, that was the, fucking fake.
It is the greatest offense. It is
fucking crazy. But
of a suburban guy from the Boston area. And I know all these people.
Colorado, we had none of that.
We have that in spades,
and
dude.
Sense. And I remember becoming friends. My first foray into the Massachusetts lifestyle or knowing people from Massachusetts is Joe List. It was Joe List, Ira Proctor, and Dan Bolger. Those are the guys I hung out with when they moved to New York. And the thing they would always bring up is guys from Massachusetts that moved to L.A.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, they're like wearing a fucking Boston hat all the time. And they're like,
Scally cap.
They're like, fucking kid, you have no clue how fucking hot it was when I was growing up in Worcester.
Growing up in Newton, Massachusetts was so difficult.
Katie and her brother don't have accents.
Right, I don't either. My brother doesn't. I moved, you know, my dad has one, but it's not thick to me.
So what's funny is I think that is a millennial thing.
Mm.
Maybe we're wrong, but the boomers that I'm around from Boston all don't know they have accents.
Well, they're not aware. Boomers are confident and unaware. It's a great combo.
That is the most accurate description I've ever heard in my life.
And I wish I had it, but that's the thing. We are all millennials. We're in touch with the movie version of our lives.
Sure.
You know, we all want to be the Mighty Ducks. That's why you self-victimize. You don't want to be the Hawks.
No.
So you want to be the Ducks. You want to be the punch up. We are brutally aware of that. In a way that a boomer would never create a Boston accent to create a character that they wanted to be.
They go, I don't talk like that.
No, why would I do that? What would that say about me? And you go, no, people are doing it. That's the thing. My parents don't even understand that grift.
Really?
Right? Yeah, my parents are like, why would someone fake a Boston accent? Right.
You're not even from Boston.
Because it makes a guy look hotter and more approachable, and he can be someone else's personality. They'd be like, what do you mean hotter and more approachable? They wouldn't even understand the grift.
Do you see old videos of yourself and hear it at all?
And hear it? The accent?
Yeah.
No, I never had it. I did one word.
Some people had it and it evaporated.
When you go home, you do hear it and start a little bit of a drawl. I'm sure Katie does a version of that.
There was an old video of her and she had, where I was like, there was a couple words where I was like, yo, don't act like you didn't have one.
Well, it's also,
because you had a little bit of one.
If you stay beyond 18, I left at 18. So like,
sure,
so no accent and then move away.
It's locked.
Now it's gone. I could be a newscaster with this accent. All I had was rum. Instead of room, I say the bedroom.
Oh, the bedroom.
Rum.
Or drawer. How
do you guys I can't do
fucking
it.
Fucking makes me furious.
Rum and drawer. No, I would say rum.
Oh, it's over in the drawer. It's a drawer.
Right.
It's a fucking drawer. Big J, when you get him back in Philly, starts going, oh, you want to get a hoagie? Oh, you want, the water. And it was funny, is one time we went down to Philly for something. I was with Jay, and we were at his parents' house.
Yeah.
He was at his mom's house in South Jersey, and he was like, hey, yo, these hoagies. And I go, these hoagies? What is that?
Where did that come from?
But it is. It's him just going home.
It's just going home. There's a little bit, but it's not. I love that Katie called him out because...
Dude, one of the things that I love about her is she did it in such a sweet way. She wasn't like a dickhead about it. She just goes, the accent's new.
Yeah, it's a shit talk. It's look at what you're doing, dude. And
that's what I like about Boston. Yes. That's what I like about Philly. That's what I like about Chicago.
A shit talk.
That's the hard problem I had with my family from San Francisco because they were very passive aggressive because San Francisco is a city where they go like, oh, you're going to sit there? That's okay.
And we know that
my friend was going to sit there. And then you go, do you not want me to sit here? Just fucking say it or not.
You know that from performing there. When I perform in San Francisco, I remember opening for Michelle. And I'm opening for, I did, 100 dates with Michelle?
Yeah.
And it was my first time being, and I was in front of Michelle's audience post.
White
House Correspondents' Dinner. Yeah. So it was almost amazing of Michelle. That's how good a comic she is. She's like, okay, I did the most left-leaning thing, made fun of the president, or did the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm going to bring a able-bodied white guy who looks like he stuck you in a closet. You know, like
in 2018, 2019?
That's, yeah.
brother, that's progressive.
Right, it is.
That was progressive.
I give you Michelle.
Go, I got a guy that might have voted for Trump in his first fucking term.
Right.
And they go, what is this?
What is this?
I need a gay amputee.
Totally.
That I need is, a black gay amputee up here.
And Michelle was like, I think she might have said this. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she was like, I need you to like get rid of the people that I kind of don't want to perform for anymore.
Shout out.
That's, I mean, like,
pruning your audience is the thing that people do not understand.
And I right, because you just want...
Because then you'll get people that just want something else.
Right, they're there for the thing that got you... You know, they saw a video once. They're not in on what you do, you know? Listen,
and I have...
Billions fans.
I was just going to bring this up.
Right.
There are fans of mine that... the coolest ones mm-hmm. were... They got into me because of Billions. Then they got into the Bonfire, and now right. they're in the world.
No. That,
and you want that,
right? That's the win.
That's the best case.
Right. There's a bad side.
What you're getting a lot of the times is, oh, the guy from Billions. Oh, I'm gonna go scream Billions at him,
dude. We all have it.
Oh, I'm gonna go yell.
I yelled at the Bachelor.
Oh yeah.
I had Bachelor fans.
Yes.
Talk about the Bachelor, and yeah. I had a Bachelor bit that I liked.
Yeah.
So I would do it, and I go, "We've done that."
Yeah.
And some people, they were just there for that, which
I'm a wrestler.
That's okay.
I love wrestling. I go on wrestling right. podcasts, and they go like, and I still to this day get guys going, "You didn't do Macho Man." You go, "I would hang myself if I was going on stage doing a right. bit as Macho Man."
Right.
And I know people go, "I'd like to see that." That's fine. I would genuinely myself if that was where my
that's not
was.
What this is. I'm sorry.
I
that,
like doing it on podcasts. It's a thing that I did it for right. friends. It's a good, fun impression.
It's a great bit. It's a great, like, when you do it as like Macho Man doing something. Listen,
great
it's
podcast one, bit.
Right. It's a great podcast bit.
But and by the way, there are people that I go like, they'll go like, and I go, "I just do it on podcasts," and they go, "Totally get
no,
it."
No, no, no.
And there are people that just get it and they go,
more
fuck
people
yeah.
get it than don't.
But the people that don't, you go,
they're loudly not getting it.
I got to bite my tongue.
Right.
I got to
And
bite
I have
my
to be
tongue.
Appreciative. And I remember when I opened for Michelle in San Francisco, I had like the hardest time because this is now the most like left-leaning cheer. But then I'm like looking to get rid of them. And I remember I get like, I'm like not doing great, mm-hmm. and then I go, and I'm Jewish, and I could feel like a collective sigh from the room.
Oh my god!
And
he's not an oppressor,
right? And I go, oh, uh-oh. did my people struggle enough for you?
Yeah,
and I made fun of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I okay to tell my jokes now about dating? Like,
and a lot of those audiences, and this is just as someone who had family. Also, my family from there was conservative.
Mm.
My grandma was a Republican. My dad, fucking, you know. It's always funny when there's like a shitty person who's conservative because you immediately go, like, your ideology. You go, he's just an alcoholic. but everyone assumes everyone from the Bay Area is very liberal and like cut your cock off if you're a man. Like,
no,
what's interesting about a lot of those people. And this is what's interesting because you're from the East Coast. Boston is like years of, you know, what reminds me of a skillet that's just been used over and over and it's got right. flavor. I'm from Colorado, and my family's from San Francisco, so I spent a lot of time with my grandma and my dad out there.
Yeah.
Both transplant cities.
Mm.
Very heavy transplant cities. So what you get is you get these people that move to the city and almost do what we're talking about how you move to college and all of a sudden you're from Boston.
Right.
It's the reverse of that, where they move to Denver and they go, I'm so Colorado. I still get that all the time.
Right.
A guy in a zip-up fleece that goes, I go to REI every weekend. I can't imagine not going to Breckenridge and just like ripping fresh pow-pow.
Right.
And you go, where are you from? And he goes, I grew up in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Right.
And you go, yeah, okay, cool.
They're cosplaying a Denver.
But also,
Denver,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't care. That's cool. Go be
sure.
that. Be Colorado. But the thing that bugged me was they're trying to out Colorado me.
Yeah.
So they're going like, oh, you grew up here? I could never leave. And you go, well, I did. But
right.
I live in New York and I like living there. But I also don't move here and go like, well, down on the ranch, we had a pretty tough time. Nor do I move here and go, I'm a New Yorker. It's like,
right.
I'm not a New Yorker. I'm from Colorado and I've lived here for over 20 years.
I'm okay with...
Whatever.
No, it happens a lot.
But San Francisco, the reason I bring all this up is get a lot of people that are these tight audience members
right.
and who act like they're all liberal and shit. A lot of them move there to work in tech.
No,
so they're getting paid money and they're kicking out the actual people that lived in San Francisco. So they got to move to fucking Sacramento or live in fucking, can't even live in the East Bay anymore. And they're going like, No, and it's like, you're not even from here. Right, you're from Akron.
Right.
Don't, stop acting like you're a fucking liberal blue hair.
Right. And while not even believing in it, you're just trying really to put on an act.
You just want someone to feel bad.
Right. You watched Milk. And now you have a new personality. By
the
way,
my mom was in the building when he got killed.
So
you don't see me going around going like, my mom was, but she was. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Like she was literally like in the building, like giving forms. She was working at a law. She was like, what's the level below lawyer where they like do all the work for him?
The
paralegal.
Paralegal.
She was a paralegal for a law firm in San Francisco and she was delivering paperwork.
The only reason I know that job is from King of Queens.
Yeah, because she was a paralegal.
She was a paralegal.
But I remember that and being like, my mom was like, the Milk movie was coming out. She was like, I was in the building when Harvey Milk got killed. And you're like, what the fuck?
What a crazy fact to like find out later in life. Like that's just like,
a drop.
Right. That's
boomers.
Yeah.
That's the unaware of boomers.
That is like not knowing.
That's such a cool story.
Right. Right. That should have been your opening. I'm sitting here a baby, just not knowing that story.
And also, I learned it when I was like, they made that movie like past 2001. I was not living in the house.
No.
And I was like, you were in the, what? If you're starting a business, job loss. What a tough thing to do. But if you're a small business owner, check out Square. Square is not only the little square they put on your phone so you can get a credit card, but it does a lot more than that. It balances your budget. It tells you where your money's going. Tells you what employees need to be paid. It's the platform behind the scenes of so many businesses that you already love. Whether you're selling smoothies, cutting hair, fixing bikes, or running a boutique, Square gives you a connected system to take payments, manage inventory, run payroll, send invoices, and track it all from one place. That one place is your phone. This isn't just a point of sale. Square includes hardware that works in person and on the go, software for managing staff, marketing, and customer insights, and banking tools like Square Checking to get paid instantly. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/soder. That's square.com/go/soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today. Ethos. Ethos is life. Listen, we're all getting older. Life insurance is going to be a thing you need to learn how to do. I'm learning how to do it either. Thank the sweet Lord for Ethos. They make getting life insurance fast and easy, 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies as low as $30 a month, and you'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Ethos has a 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 5,500 reviews. So take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Through Ethos. Get your free quotes at ethos.com/soder. That's ethos.com/soder. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of August 1st, 2026.
This is why I love Sacramento. I think that's like a great town for comedy.
Sacramento Punchline fucking rules.
I mean, but everyone that goes, you're like, oh, you guys are like the older sibling
of San Francisco.
Of San Francisco. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, they kind of like went off and did their own thing. Like,
San Francisco got completely taken over by tech.
I do like performing San Francisco. I have a great time there.
I refilmed my fucking special there. We filmed in Mill Valley.
But this is back to finding your audience. Like, you find the people that you go, you know, like what Michelle was doing. Like, let me get rid of, like, these people that, like, really just don't want to get it, don't want to have fun.
Sure.
And then you go.
Well, they also liked Michelle because she was the only person that they felt like was sticking it to the Trump administration.
Right, right, right.
And which, by the way, she did both sides. You wrote on it.
No, I didn't write on it. I
oh yeah, Saint Germain. She had a fucking hit killer fucking
she
staff.
I watched her work it out, and I was like, wow. Like yeah. I was like, who's gonna have a problem with this? She's going from all sides, and then to both see sides. How it came out that anyone. I mean, she's gonna watch this, and we were just like, when it came to the Sarah Huckabee thing, I was like, that was it. Like I was shocked. I was
also mad at Morning Joe. Because they were like, Michelle Wolf's comments were, and it was like, oh, you didn't like the fact that her joke was, Joe Scarsborough on Morning Joke was just a Me Too that worked out? And then it's like, that's why your butt hurt.
Right.
You're not butt hurt because everyone goes to,
right.
But she shit on New York Times. She shit on everybody.
And that's probably why, you know, then who's going to support you?
I remember her.
Us comics yeah. sitting there going, it was great. She made fun of everybody. And then no one listens to us. No. You know, that's.
Yeah, they go. Yeah, because also it's the age of clickbait. So it's like, this is what we were talking about on the regs that I was like fascinated by. There's a whole generation of comics that just behave in a clickbait way.
No, it's actually like.
They're like young and they're like, fuck you, you're a pussy. And then you're like, what did you say? And they go, I was, whoa. Oh, I was just getting you to fucking call
As
me back.
As a person who yeah. has touched a pussy once before, I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you go, you fucking, it's like generationally, it feels like we're getting more and more separated by each generation by the internet. Like they're really focusing in on like each generation and dividing us.
Well, yeah. We've never really had to share the room of the internet with anyone until Gen Z came along.
It's true.
If you think like Gen X wasn't on the internet, wasn't making listicles.
They were, but they were like really into computers. So they were doing some high level shit.
Right.
Or just like exchanging information or.
It was totally, yeah, Napster.
It was like.
Send me one track of a song and then.
They were really doing it for convenience. Yes. And I dug that about Gen X.
Yeah.
Their internet to them was all convenience.
We were out there writing lists and telling you how hard dating is and oh my God, 10 reasons to go to Denver on your next bachelor parties. And you're
BuzzFeed, like. BuzzFeed, all this shit blew up because millennials were getting older.
Totally.
And we were like starting to get into that.
And then Gen Z kind of walks in and is like, hey, we want a little piece of that internet too. We got things to say. And now we have to share the room with them and like. That's why, like, a lot of, like, the fashion stuff gets, like you hear from women a lot, like, then they're bringing back this. And I'm like, well, we don't have to wear those things, you know, like, why we're older. But it is, like, you're sharing a closet.
Yeah, that really is what it is. I've never thought about it like that, but that is really true when they're, like, coming in like this. And then Jen Alpha's like, I don't want your closet. I want my own closet. Right. Get the fuck out of here.
It's going to get weirder. Like we're sitting in a spot where it's like I with comedy specifically, I'm like, you know, as the special, I'm like, I hope someone like I used to be more sure at how to promote these things. I used to like feel like I understood a little bit of how to get like a follower. I never got it. I kind of have to give up on that. I kind of have to like be okay. I want to keep growing, but I'm like, I did this special, like it's a 1 hour story. I'm like, I don't even know if anyone even wants that type of a special. Like, cause
I think there's a lot of freedom, in just making stuff for what you like in like kind of what you would want to watch
right.
or what you would enjoy. And then just like, kind of hoping that people gravitate towards it. Because I think what I'm noticing, and again, this is just one older pothead's view of it, younger people especially are flocking to authenticity in a way that makes me happy.
You're getting a good, I see your YouTube, the comments are like, that's the person you attract, I think.
I would hope so.
I think you do attract a good, like I've was on this show before, you go look at the comments. It feels like, you know, I think the thing you have that's really good right now is people feel like they're holding your rookie card.
That's sick.
And I love that for you. Like, even though I'm like, Soda's doing great. He's like making a great living. He's like,
I'm fine.
You're fine. But I do think there's people that will go to battle for you. I saw that with Shane where it was like, because I know it as a guy with a female leaning audience,
sure.
I deal with boyfriend of who goes, do you know, do you ever heard of? So I get the, have you ever heard of the week?
Oh yeah.
From bro who thinks
God,
I've
so
never.
It's so funny to be on the other side of it. Because I get the ones where they go,
Yeah.
I get the boyfriend with the girlfriend who goes, I make her listen to you and she, and you go like, I am so sorry, miss. And that was big on the bonfire.
Yes.
When I did a bonfire, there was a lot of guys going like, dude, she doesn't like listening, but right. I tell her like, these guys are funny. And you go, I really appreciate that. But what's even cooler now in my 40s, and now that I'm like reaching, this is going to make me want to throw up on the mic, but I'm reaching my mid 40s. I've never enjoyed doing stand up more. And also what I get now is I get couples.
No, dude, I think this is how it works out. Like I'm actually getting like chills hearing this because it started as girl group with, and I listen, the women that came and have come to my shows, I love them. They're sure. great. I think white women get a bad name at comedy shows because they're dragged by a dude who's bringing them to someone they don't want to see, and they're just not.
I can absolutely agree with that.
And you go, I'm not zoned in.
As a guy that's been that guy before, right. I completely agree.
And I get the other side of it, sure. where these women came with their friends, and they came because of The Bachelor. And then, again, this is the good version, where they go, now they bring the boyfriend, and now it's their husband, and we've been coming for years, and she got me into it, and I didn't even know about you because I only look at Barstool, or whatever it might be.
Fine.
So, and I'm like, but now I said that, like, anyone who opens me, they're like, it's a lot more couples.
It's great.
And I think it's just like, that's like the evolution. And that's like,
there's something about the fact that, like, it makes me so happy that someone can take a Friday night and come enjoy my jokes and leave and go, we just had a great fucking time. And you go, that rules. Dude, I'm so glad you did that.
I sent you a picture from, I think I was in St. Louis. I was having breakfast and a guy was wearing.
Katie's wearing that shirt right now.
A Soder t-shirt cutting the pancakes for his two kids.
Love it.
And I was like, man.
And I don't have kids, so I don't have like a lot of like, I can't really connect with that. But I am like.
They're connecting with something.
What I like about it is, and you know, it was something that I always wanted, but I think I was so, you know, we're older now. I think we're more calmed down. I think we're like a little okay with how things go now.
Right.
Well, when you're younger anything, you are like, I gotta fucking do it. And you're like, I gotta be the best. And then everyone's like, you chill out. Right. Chill the fuck out, bro.
Yeah.
And I think that was me until COVID.
Yeah.
I was so tight gripped on it, just being like, I promise you I'm funny at stand up. And people were like, chill. And then after COVID, I was kind of like, oh, I should just go work on my stand up. And like, I kind of don't really need to be up in everyone's face. And
right. I don't need to be like DMing people. Hey.
And it's like, I stopped looking at comments. And I know comics say that, but I genuinely hit a point in my life where I'm 43 years old and I don't need to get worked up.
Right.
Because you know what comments are? Is just someone driving by and going like, nice shoes.
Right.
And then I go, you don't like my shoes?
I do understand a bad comment too on TikTok more than anything. Because like, can you imagine you're just like having fun watching stuff you like and then suddenly someone just says something you hate?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I am like, I'm angered by that. That is a little triggering.
I think the most sensitive part of this entire relationship of being a comic is, please come watch my stand-up. I'm not telling you. You have to. Right. If you don't like it, by all means, move forward.
Right.
Move on. And I can give you recs. If like, I love comedy.
Right.
If you didn't like mine, I could probably put you in the direction of someone that you might like. And I think that's going to be the correction the internet needs to make.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you what you should like. I'm just here to offer you an option.
This is...
And if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Right.
And by the way, ain't nobody dislikes this guy more than this guy.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
You go, brother, get in line.
You think you can be mean to me? You should hear me after I eat a Chinese food dinner. I will talk badly about myself.
And I think that was one of the reasons I used to go to the comment section. It was because of the self-hatred. And I'd go like, see. And then you go, what am I gaining off this? Now it's just come see my silly little stories. Right. And I hope you like it.
I there's two people. There's Colin Quinn, where I'm like, I love watching him. And then there's the end of the Ray Romano special. I don't know if I ever said this to you. The end of the Ray Romano special that was done at the Cellar. Him and his family go have pizza after the show. And it's like the sweetest moment. And I watch that and I'm like, that's the goal. That the family's like cool with it. None of them, you know, we've seen so many comics on the road where it's like, let me talk horribly about my family. And you're like, they probably haven't heard this. And then they're like, oh, the kids, they're not even 10 anymore. They're 85.
Bro,
you know, like, and you're like,
there was, when I started in Tucson, I was emceeing or maybe featuring for this guy.
Yeah.
All weekend did his joke about his 2 4-year-olds and the two twins. And
right.
They talk like this. And then we're at the bar after the Saturday show. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, hey, I'm out early. I go, you gotta get home, man. 4 years old. He goes, oh, they're 26 now.
Like,
you go. He said that to me. And I was like, what?
Right.
The fuck does that mean?
That's why that Ray Romano scene, I'm like, oh, you can do this and be a normal guy getting pizza with his family, talking shit. Oh my God, I like that bit. I didn't like that bit. you got a wife that's there, happy to be there. I know he made a billion on, you know, like on a TV show, but like,
I also think a big problem with culture in general these days is we've given up the idea of being happy through love in order to be happy through things,
right?
Money, possessions, houses, clout, whatever it is. There aren't that. That's not real. What's right. real is like having someone, because you know, you talk about your girlfriend and how she's been the most supportive you've ever had about right. someone. I'm interested to see the moment where your parents say something that pisses her off,
right?
Because it happens. And by the way, there's not a better feeling.
Yeah.
Than, and my, you know, my mom and Katie get along famously, but there's been shit she said to me where Katie like later has been like, I didn't like that, and you're like, right. And you just finally. There's just this moment where you just go like, I didn't realize I've been waiting for her so that when I'm around my mom, I can go, all right, so you see that shit.
Right. Well,
so that shit's crazy.
Right. You were the son.
I was an only child.
Right. No so one there to your, be like, yeah, my brother would go, no, that's fucking nuts.
You had, you had each other. They call it confirming your reality.
Right.
Your brother was going like, yeah, dad and mom are nuts. I was by myself with this lady.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's tough.
So it's great to finally have someone to go like, that's nuts, right? And she's, that's fucking nuts. That's and fucking you go, nuts. Okay, now we're getting a little traction. Now we're moving.
Listen, I want to ask you something.
Sure.
I saw a story that I was like, this is a Dan Soder story that I actually thought of you. And I was like, I'll put it in my pocket when I come here for the podcast.
Now you're pulling it out.
What do you think of Taylor Sheridan? How do you feel about that guy?
That's the guy that did Yellowstone.
And now he has $1 billion contract with, yeah, I think, straight NBC. Ryan Murphy. Is he straight?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I
but you know that Ryan Murphy guy does like, is that his name? The guy that did like the OJ show on FX and he did Shards.
I don't know him. I just know.
So he does this whole, Ryan Murphy does this, basically I think there's like, you know how there's like, there's two people. There's Ryan Murphy or Taylor Sheridan.
They're like all of Hollywood at this point.
Yes, and that's what they're doing is they're finding people that are making, you know, Ryan Murphy was a producer on Glee, and then he did American Horror Story. His new show's The Shards.
Okay.
But he does like 911 Nashville.
Okay, yeah, so he has like, a huge, Taylor Sheridan like has written like an amount of shows.
Sicario, he did both Sicarios.
See, I don't know him.
See, Taylor Sheridan's got some shit, dude, because he wrote Hell or High Water, which is one of the best movies.
Great movie.
Yeah.
That movie's great.
Fucking puts on a
unreal clip. Movie, and it says something.
He it's did. I heard Wind River's awesome, but he did Sicario. He did Lion.
This is Taylor Sheridan?
And so he also does Yellowstone, Dutton Ranch, The Madison, Landman.
So these are the ones that he's made his money off of. Hell or High Water, I didn't know that was him. That, to me, puts him in a different like artist category, but I think he realized.
I think he made a bunch of great shit, and then he goes, you want me to diarrhea out money?
And that's what he's doing right now. Yeah. He is totally.
Yellowstone's just like
covering the bowl with money.
Yeah, Yellowstone is like if they injected the flag into your veins. Where they're just basically like, are you an American? Do you love? They took a Ford truck and turned it into TV shows.
So do you know that he owns a ranch and the way he directs shows? This is something I was like, Soder has to know this.
I don't know this.
He'll direct his shows from a horse.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Can you imagine doing a scene? And you're like, hey, lady.
Sorry about that.
Right.
Oh, watch out. Watch out, silver dollar.
Right.
Watch out.
Take it again.
Yes. Oh, sorry about that. Yes, and action.
Right. Whoa. Whoa, whiskers.
Whoa, hold on. Mustard's trying to buck me. Just going backwards.
Him eating an Uncrustable from Crafty. Yeah. While on a horse.
A PA handing it to him.
Right.
Right. Can we actually get that on, can we punch in on that? He's in Video Village and the horse is just like eating someone's hair.
Right.
It's like, he's like, yeah, don't worry about her.
Eating a Rice Krispie treat.
Oh, dude, how many PAs?
While wearing a cowboy hat and a vest.
How many PAs get kicked? Right. I told you not to come up from behind. I told you now.
Do not surprise Whiskers.
I'll take a coffee with cream and sugar and I think for Thunder, she'll take some hay. Did you bring some hay? Do we have any hay in crafting?
I knew you were going to love this.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Can you imagine?
I couldn't take that seriously. I'd be like, because I love you, and that's why I caught. Can we do... He's on the fucking horse. There he goes. We're waiting for Taylor. He goes, well, it can't take him that long. He comes riding in from over. Oh, here he comes.
Sorry, guys. Had to go to the bathroom real quick. Had to climb back on my horse.
That's a wrap. That's the fucking thing. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So what that is he's just a great artist, and then he got so much money, and then he got so much money that he was just... And by the way, everybody, this is what happens to your favorite Hollywood artists. They make great stuff. They make a ton of money.
Yeah.
That money changes everyone around them. That then fortifies in a circle, and then all those people, like just parrots, just go, yes, yes, right, yes. And then that person in the middle of that circle, all they hear is yes, and then they go crazy.
And then they
direct on a horse.
And then a guy with a great imagination is allowed to color outside the lines.
Yes.
Because he's going, you know, it would be great if I could just be on my horse while doing this.
Because God.
And someone was no one can go, did you just say you want to direct from a horse?
That's crazy.
Does
he do it like normally, or is it like once in a while?
I don't know. I saw that and I was like, what a, like you have to answer to someone that's on top of a horse that is not a cowboy, that is playing the part of a cowboy while you're playing the part of a cowboy.
Well, there's a bunch of questions I have. Number one, is he from that part of the area?
What I don't know. And like, because that's a lot of his shows.
On Wikipedia or on IMDb, Taylor Sheridan's an American actor, screenwriter, and director. Boo, boo, boo. Yeah, nothing about his personal life. Oh, he's also starred in Sons of Anarchy.
Well, he was an actor. He was an actor that like...
That's why.
Yeah.
So he was an actor, and then he actually was like, had some good ideas, yep, made it, and then his actor brain went full actor brain.
Yeah, he went full artist.
Because...
This is what he would do if he could do it. And not everyone should be allowed to fly. Not everyone should be allowed to go anywhere with their imagination.
I feel like there's a PA that has to saddle up his horse every day.
That's crazy.
Where they get to set and they go like, I gotta go put the blanket and the saddle on her. And
you know where I started? I was the horse guy for Taylor Sheridan.
You know what I would do? I'd fucking take Taylor Sheridan's horse out of this kennel, out of the stable every day. I'd feed it. I'd brush it. Put the fucking saddle on. I'd clean out its fucking
shoes. That's someone's reality right now.
Yeah.
And they're on, in their mind, they're like, I'm on the fast track to Hollywood.
Yeah, and
by cleaning out the...
My dentist loves Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
And so she's always like, you gotta watch The Shards on FX. But I read a review and it was like, it's a dog shit show. Because yeah, Ryan Murphy's just tossing these shows out there, similar to Taylor Sheridan, where you just go, oh, this is... You just vomited it up.
Once you have the formula, that's kind of the bad... I mean, that's what we see on the internet.
Show where she was a lawyer? It was on Amazon. Yes, and it ate shit? That was a Ryan Murphy show.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, they said you can do anything. You can make...
That's exactly
right. Yeah.
But they don't... See, this is a problem with a lot of it, is they do that for these two guys.
Right.
But then there's young people with these great ideas.
Well, there's
and
no...
And they go, we can't make the risk.
Well, there's
we got to buy Taylor a new horse.
Right. This is like wealth inequality, like shows up in your art kind of thing, because...
Oh, yeah.
Now you have two guys who are like given all the money, and then they're like, we just have no money. You know, like we just maybe
people go, what do I do in this business? I go, I spent 8 years trying to get a tape for Late Night, and now I don't care about Late Night.
Right. No,
now they go, do you want to go on Fallon? I go, he's corny and his audience is corny.
The best I feel is when I make something I really like that I made and I just put it out and I go, oh, and then weird enough, it does well. Like it gets the YouTube reaction.
That motherfucker proved it for me with YouTube.
Yeah.
Because HBO turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
HBO told me they only wanted comics that have a message.
I heard a story, and I was like, my special is a story. It's literally a story.
That's what they said?
Well, they wanted a comic with a message, story. And I was like, I have a... So, and then they were like, they're going to love... Oh, not... Nah, you know, it's like...
So, and then we fucking make this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, hold on. We didn't get to see, but we did it on YouTube, and it was like, oh, the people like it.
Right.
They just want good stand-up.
Right. They're
not
out
good
there.
Standard.
I mean, that's what, you know, listen, I was happy to come on here because I'm like, I know people are watching this and I'm going to go, oh, they're going to give it 10 minutes. Because like, if you give it 10, you're going to get to the end. Like
some of you will love it.
Yeah. I think
some of you will absolutely love it, and you'll go like, "Oh, it's fucking great! I really enjoyed it." That's all this is now,
right?
Hey, I hope you fuck with me. That's all I can say. It's just going like, "Hey, I hope you fuck with me. Well, I'm gonna keep trying."
It's, with
I
feel all like that storefronts,
we're like, yeah, we're all just storefronts. We're all just fucking restaurants,
right?
And it's like, yeah, dude, I don't need to be a Michelin star anymore. I just kind of like making the stuff I like making.
And if enough people come, I can get my horse, sit on it.
Here's the funny thing. If I ever got to that point, I would leave.
Leave what?
Business. I would want a life. Well, if I got that much money, you wouldn't see me. I do this podcast, which is great because I hang out with one person.
Sure.
For once a week, I hang out with a person that I get to choose, which is really fun.
And zone in convo. Catch up before, catch up during.
Literally, we're going to do this. After you leave, we're going to eat lunch, and I'll probably play a game of college football right on this couch.
Pretty good.
On that TV. Great life. Love it. And then I do the regs twice a month, and then I just tour like a motherfucker.
There it is.
And it's awesome. But what I don't do is I'm not like begging, you know, and I'm not like, oh, can I get on this? Can I get, because I did it's that not, for so long.
Right, it's not worth it anymore. I've hit my limit with that. I mean, I'm like.
But what a comfortable place to be.
No, it is.
That's what I recommend to young comics.
Yeah.
Get really fucking good at this so you can get the people that you want to come see you. Because one of the coolest compliments I ever get in comedy is when a comic I love, like Sean Murphy or Anthony Moore or Brendan Sagalo, and we go on the road and they get off stage and they go, "I love your crowds."
Dude, this is something I say all the time. And I say, I generally have women open for me. And the women, they're like, you could tell they're like looking for those types of women to come to their shows.
It's great.
And it's a compliment I never thought I would care about.
I love it.
The clubs even too.
People getting off stage and they go, "Oh, clubs." I was just in Spokane and they were like, "Your crowds are fucking great.
Fun. They're great. They're cool." And I do think this all relates. Like I think like care about stand up. You end up getting a great crowd.
Bumps and there are tough spots.
Listen, I had a woman yell at me that Joe Coy was her cousin and she was going to tell Joe Coy how horrible I was.
Great.
In Jacksonville. I was like, I'm going to tell him for you.
Yeah,
I'm going to make this into a video and we're going to send this to him and show him. Not yet. I haven't. I'm like, it is.
Brother, call her bluff.
She was so drunk. I'll tell you what,
if Joe Coy sees his cousin at a comedy show yelling that shit, if one of my cousins was at a comedy show yelling, the fucking brow beating they would get,
the fucking text
I would get where I'd go, "Don't ever fucking mention you're related to me."
The riff I had, I was like, she was like, "I'm telling Joseph." And I said, I'm in Jacksonville at the Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
You've been there.
I haven't been there.
Have you been there?
No.
30 people behind a Steak and Shake. Like it is. Sick. It is. It
I
looks
might go
like
there just for that Steak and Shake.
You got to. It looks like a roadhouse. It's like sunken in. It looks like a bar from the 80s. I looked at it. I was like, I love this. But like 30 people. And she's like, "I'm telling Joseph." I go, "What's he going to take away from me?"
Yeah.
This.
That's so funny.
Like,
that really
I was
is.
Like, it's like, this is what he's going to take away. That, I'm having a great
attitude.
Time.
What an attitude.
And it was all because I did a bit. I was saying how I want my body goals are that of an older Asian man.
Great.
Because I was like, they all look like they fit well in a t-shirt. Like they seem like they don't work out that hard. Like, so I do this bit. She was like, "What you said about Asians." I was like, "That I want their body?" Like I was like,
"Oh, so you weren't listening."
Yeah. You totally have gone. And it turned into this whole thing. And she's like, "I'm telling Joseph."
Prune him. Prune him. You're
get
out.
Him out.
You're that fucking was, gone. Yeah. Check out Jared's special on Netflix right now.
Please.
Go watch it. And then listen to his podcast. Listen to anything he does. Jared Fried fucking
appreciate
rules.
It. Totes preach.
Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Dude, this was a blast. Thank you.
You're the man.
You're the best.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athlete-ish, Sierra's got it.